I'm an overcomer, and all God's people say, amen. Both those of you in the house and those of you online, wave to somebody, say good afternoon, overcomer. Well, they say we got one extra hour of rest. I don't know how many of you did, but I don't notice it. You know, they move the time backward at some point, at another point, they'll move it forward and stuff like that. I think it's a good exercise, but it's still 24 hours, so we don't really gain anything and we don't lose anything because it's the same time. Amen? That's maybe just me thinking that way. But again, I want to welcome you to the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm excited for us to pick up from where we left off last Sunday. And also, of course, for us to add a little bit of emphasis to the service of yesterday. Those of us who were part of it, I think Friday, actually, Friday night, the family affair. I was grateful to God for those of you who were able to turn out. And some of you, maybe you got busy or you forgot. I'm hoping that you will take advantage of the material. It's very important that we stay in contact with what is happening so that we can benefit from it. We've been looking at a series, Turning Challenges into Testimony. Turning Challenges into Testimony. That's what we began looking at in October. And I feel very strongly that we need to keep exploring some of those important aspects of it. So say with me, everybody, Turning Challenges into Testimonies. Amen, amen. I believe, God, that as we continue, whatever the challenges come our way, that God will give us information, will give us ideas, will give us keys, will give us power to turn them around and they become testimonies in the name of Jesus. Come on, give me a louder amen.
Amen.
We began by looking at the topic, small voice that led to big victory last Sunday. And so we're going to finish that. And the scripture before us is in 2 Kings chapter 5, a very interesting story. But before we jumped into that, we emphasized that this part of the series, we're going to be emphasizing 4 R's. R as in Richard. And I went over them last time, and I think it's important that we go over them again. Number one, and please make note because they'll be helpful to you. And I'm saying to us that these are the four keys that we need to turn every challenge into testimony. Number one is responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. I gave you the definition, so it's in your notes. I'm not going over that. But briefly, it is placing yourself in a position that until you do something, God is not committed. We don't go to bed and expect God to go and work for us. God does not work like that. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we must take responsibility first. Be the first to step out. Number two is reliance. Everybody say reliance. And the way those two go, responsibility and reliance, says you walk as if everything depends on you, and you pray as if everything depends on God. That's really what I'm trying to say. So you find yourself in any situation, any difficulty, any challenge, do everything you know how to do, number one. And number two, put everything in God's hand. Our number three is what? Resilience. Everybody say it again. Say one more time. Resilience is never give up. Tell your neighbor, never give up. Say it again to somebody and say, never give up. Resilience is the ability to bounce back even when you are stretched. You know, it's easy for us, you know, if you want to remember that, take a piece of a rubber band. You know, you stretch it. Guess what happens when you leave it? It comes right back. Amen? That's resilience. So do not allow your problems or your challenges to stretch you so that you have no energy, you have no faith, you don't talk to anybody anymore, you don't do the things that you used to do anymore. It's like all your energy is gone. That is not resilience. It's important that if you're going to turn your challenges, if I'm going to turn my challenges into testimony, I must be a resilient believer to stay on and keep believing, even when I'm not seeing anything changing physically. And the last R is what? results. In fact, I said before, I'm going to say it again, that if you take care of the first three R's, you don't have to worry about the last one. You will get results. Amen, somebody. Let me have somebody say, I will get results. Come on, say with confidence, say, I will get results. So if you become responsible, you rely on God and you are resilient, the devil himself cannot stop your results from coming. So whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, don't let the devil stop you. Don't let him discourage you. Don't let him distract you. We emphasize that these are four keys, and I gave you scriptures like in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, Luke chapter 11, verse 52, that emphasize the fact that these are keys and that the kingdom operates on keys. Now, the story before us is the story of a man called Naaman, which is a very interesting story. And we have explored the fact that the man had power, he had authority, he had victory, he had a good record behind him. He was a four-star general. So everything, humanly speaking, he had. But he had a problem that money could not solve, power could not solve it, position couldn't solve it, even the military experience could not solve it. He had a problem of leprosy. Friends, the emphasis is the fact that there are problems that nothing else can solve, no one else can solve but God. And that's why we emphasize the fact that you don't want to look at anybody and envy them. I want to be like them. Because you don't know what is behind those suits. You don't know what is behind those coats. You don't know what is behind those shiny cars. You don't know what is behind those big houses. You don't know what is behind them. When you listen to the news, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes you hear crazy things happening to some people, and you go, really? How can it happen there? Sometimes you hear things happen. They say, this thing don't happen in our neighborhood. Anybody ever hear such a story before? Say, no, our neighborhood is not like that. So I'm very surprised that it happened here. Oh, you are living on earth, friends. Amen, somebody. There's no neighborhood that is exempt. Amen. But everybody who is a child of God that has Jesus living inside of them can stand strong. So Naaman had a problem that he could not solve. And we went through some of those last time. And of course, we discovered it was a little girl that gave the direction that finally led to where he went. It was the fact that a little girl that had been captured from Israel said, if this man was in Israel, in the presence of the prophet, my prophet in Israel would heal him. And the emphasis I made, I'm doing this intentionally this morning, is the fact that you need to teach your little children the word of God. We have a good number of kids in the church today, and I hope a number of them are also online watching. Parents, you need to teach your children that their voice matters. Those of you who have your children in church, those of you who are online, please turn to your children for me, pat them on the shoulder. No, get their attention, get their attention, get your children's attention. Tell them your voice matters. Okay, someone is not talking to their child. I'm going to wait until everybody does it. Say your voice matters. You see, sometimes we have taught our children that their voice don't matter. And indirectly, we have allowed people to abuse them and they keep quiet because we haven't taught them that it's important for them to speak out. Shut up! Keep quiet! No, that's not the best way to raise a child. Give them a chance to say what they need to say. They probably are not saying it right. Then teach them how to say, but don't shut them down. Because it's important that they learn to speak up, especially when it comes to the things of God. This little girl was in a foreign land, but he was still able to speak up because somebody raised her to speak up. Somebody raised her to know God. Somebody raised her to know what was happening in the land. He must have heard stories and seen examples of the miracle that have happened in her country. So that when she was far away in a different country, as a slave girl, she was still speaking up. I pray in the name of Jesus that the devil shall not be able to silence the voice of our children. I wish somebody would say a louder amen. I said, Satan shall not be able to silence the voice of our children. They tell us, they give us the impression everybody else has a right to speak but us. Yeah, they can talk about yoga, they can talk about everything else. No, but we can't talk about Jesus. That's a lie of the devil. Okay, living by myself is okay. I say all by myself. I say it's a lie of the devil. They amplify everything else that is non-Christian. But it is wrong for Christians to speak up. Why? Friends, you must teach your children that nobody should make them feel ashamed or feel guilty for being different. Nobody should make them feel ashamed or feel guilty for being Christians. When everybody is following that, I am not that. I am a child of God. Our children should be bold enough to say that wherever they go. We are in a system that is trying to silence us. And it begins with our children. Because if they're able to silence our children today, you know what? 20 years to come, there'll be no voice speaking for God. So you must teach your children to speak up. A little girl in the house of a mighty man. They were not serving God in Syria. It was obvious. They served other gods. But a little girl could speak up. I could make that a whole sermon today, but I'm not going to. But it's critical for us to learn that. Somebody taught her. And that's why it's so critical for you parents to teach your children. I'm proud of those of you who still bring your children to church, wear the mask, help them to do all the sanitation, all the hand cleaning, teach them all of that. But don't let them abandon the things of God. So I'm proud of those of you that still do that. Oh, my child cannot go out. Oh, my child cannot do this. But on Monday, some of them, you're sending them, putting them on the bus or putting them in a place and they go to school. They can't come to church on a Sunday. Okay, even if they can't do that, how about locking them in every Sunday morning so they can be part of the silent? Oh, they're tired. Oh, they're busy. Really? So all week, all month, everything is more important to you than the things of God. Friends, we do not want to jeopardize the future of our children. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God will help us to be focused on what is important. I'm picking up today from point number one in your note. I just felt I need to highlight a few of those things. But we are way back now, I mean way down into verse number 11. So that's number one in your note. And let's see how fast we can go with that. After all the things have happened, and then at this point, Naaman was already in Israel, and you all remember the fact that when he got to the house of the king, like we read in the passage of this morning, that the king tore his clothes because he thought it was a problem. And we emphasize part of the reason why that happened. You can go back to last week's notes and see that. But today we're looking at verse number 11 and 12. If we can put that on the screen for us, a haughty reaction. When you say haughty, I mean pride. Is something that, you know, is very, very detrimental to the life of anybody. Everybody, please read this together, one, two, go. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, it will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and he, the leprosy. Hold it there, please. Hold it there. Understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with turning. Oh, I thought someone was going to finish for me. Turning your challenges into
testimony.
Okay, good. Okay, let's try one more time. Turning our challenges into
testimony.
Good, good, good. Now, you know where we are in this story. He's already in Israel. The king already torn his clothes because he had no answer to the situation. And again, we made that emphasis last Sunday. The fact that the nation in which we live in, of course, there are politicians that are doing their stuff or not doing their stuff. And then there's the church. And then many times we find ourselves accusing the politicians of not doing anything, but we are not doing anything either. The Bible said Elisha, the prophet, heard that the king was troubled. And he said, the king don't need to be afraid. Send him to me. And this man will know that there's a prophet in Israel. Friends, our politicians are failing. I said it again. I said our politicians are failing. I don't care who you elect. In the end, they are mere human beings. And there will be things they cannot do. You see, the pain and the agony in my heart is that the church is becoming powerless. In the days of old, when the politicians failed, the church stood up. When the world had no answer, the church said, we have the answer. When there was a crisis in the land and men were running helter-skelter, men of God stood up and they spoke and they created a solution and men began to line up. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. Folks went to church with hands that were withered. Remember the story? For years they carried it. Some were born blind. Parents had no answer. Politics couldn't solve it. But when Jesus showed up, he brought healing. He brought deliverance. He brought solution. The church was packed. Today we speak more English than anybody ever spoke. We do all kinds of jamboree, but we have little to show for it. I said it last Sunday, I said it again. Beginning from me is a shame on us. We're bringing shame and disgrace to the work and the name of the Lord. We talk so much about the power of God. Show it. The world is looking to see who is truly going to make a difference. We sit there and accuse all the politicians. Who is accusing us? We all should hide ourselves, our head in shame. Every single one of us need to get back to our closet. And that through us, God will begin to show himself mighty. Friends, when the church begins to solve the problems of the nation, there'll be no room in church. The world is looking for a solution. If they can't find it in the church, they go elsewhere to look for it. And we are complaining. The devil is doing it. The devil is doing that. You know who is doing it? We. Now look at the scripture before us, verse number 11. Let's get back there. The Bible says this, that when the prophet, the prophet said to him, go and wash yourself in the river Jordan 7 times and be clean. Look at the reaction again. The Bible says what? Naaman became furious. He was angry. Why? Because he came with a preconceived notion. I want you to stay with me here. We're talking about turning your challenges into testimony. He already had in his mind how he thought the healing would come. So if it didn't go that way, he wasn't going to follow. Sometimes some of us are having problems breaking the barriers on our way because we already have a preset idea of how we think it should happen. Friends, if you know what to do, why are you in problem then? Oh, okay. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Naaman. If you had the answer, why are you in Israel? I mean, you had the problem all these years. Your king couldn't solve it. Your nature couldn't solve it. They sent you here. They said, go to the river and wash. You get angry. Don't raise your hand. You know people who get angry when they tell them to do something?
Oh, you need help.
Okay. We have prayer and fasting coming. We need you to join first.
Oh, every time it's prayer and fasting, every time is that the only thing that is actually the church would. Listen, the power is not in what we do, the power is in how we obey. I want you to write it down. If you are going to get a testimony, if you are going to turn your situation around, the first step is in obedience. Everyone say obedience. Say one more time. Listen, if we don't obey the instructions of the word of God, God is not committed. So the man of God says, go and wash. And then he comes around and said, I said to myself. Did you see that in the end of line number two? Okay, walk with me here now. He said what? I said to myself.
So he already said in his mind, he will surely come out to me. Why? Because I'm a four-star general. Why will he send a messenger to me? And then he will stand and he will call upon the name of his Lord. He will wave his hand. Can you see all the things that he has already put in his mind? He will wave his hand over the place and then heal. You know how it comes sometimes? We're looking for more of the jamboree. We're praying with one leg up in the sky, jumping all over the place and all of that stuff. Friends, there's no power in the action if there's no power behind the action. Okay, I'll say it again. The action is useless if this is where you start and end. Every action must be backed with power from the prayer room. Did you get what I just said?
Amen.
The Bible says he sends his word and the word heals them. Know that he came and jumped around the place. It's the part of the reason why many of us are not breaking through our challenges is because there is no power behind what we do. You have not prayed for 5 minutes. You are looking for a miracle. You have not spent 5 minutes reading the Bible. You are looking for a miracle. Tell your neighbor it doesn't work that way.
It don't work that way.
Okay, you're not talking to somebody. Talk to them, say it doesn't work that way. Listen, friends, the church, first of all, the power of the church comes from a relationship. Everybody say relationship. Listen, it's the extent to which you and I spend time with God. That's the extent to which God manifests through us. Are you all listening to me? So Elijah, the prophet, knew exactly where he belonged. He didn't have to put on some long robe and some big cap, you know, and wear some gold cross. You know how we do it and all of that stuff. And I have 3 people on this side and 4 people on this side, you know, line up so that they are all my, what they call them again? Armor bearers and all of that stuff. Bring a big golden bottle of anointing oil that has no power in it. Friends, the church must get to a place and the right place where the church will be able to function and bring change is not in the public. Look at what the scripture says. Give me the next verse, verse 12. Because the man continues now, verse number 12. Everybody read quickly. He says what? And not the Abana and the Paha or Pafa, whatever that is, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel, could not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Now, I want to stay with the word, please. If you are looking for solution from God, you have to do it God's way. Okay. I think that's a good line. I want you to preach to your neighbor for me. Turn to your neighbor for me. Say, neighbor,
Come on, you're not talking to somebody. Maybe those of you online, to say, neighbor, if you're looking for a solution from God, you have to do it God's way. Did you get it? It's so clear. If you want to turn your situation around, I'm a good person, doesn't solve it. God knows my heart, doesn't solve it. Nobody's perfect, doesn't solve it. You have to do it the way God wants you to do it, or else you will not get God's solution. The man began to compare the rivers of Israel to the rivers of his country. And background study tells us that River Jordan, at this point, was a very dirty river. Nobody wanted to get in there. But friends, if that's where God said you should go so you can get your healing, if you want your healing from God, guess what? That's where you go. Okay, you knew that all these rivers were good in Syria. So what are you doing in Israel? Friends, it is important for us as men and women to understand that the things that God asks us to do, most of the time, they are different from what the world will ask us to do. It will not make sense, humanly speaking. But if that's what God says you should do, friends, do it. Okay, say that with me. Say, if that's what God says I should do, say it again. If that's what God says I should do, I'll do it. Amen, somebody. So the man became holy. And look at the next one quickly, by number two now. Something happened. And this is about the same thing that happened that brought him from Syria. It was a little servant girl that spoke before he left home. Are you following this? Now, here is a lesson that I want you to bear in mind as we finish this one. Sometimes, the instruction that will save your life will come to an unexpected source. Okay. I know you heard me. Say with me, say sometimes. Okay, say louder. Say sometimes. The instruction that will save my life will come to an unexpected source. It will come to a person that doesn't look like somebody who knows anything. It might just be a simple sentence, a simple statement. Maybe from the praise and worship, somebody's talking, somebody's singing. Maybe from the message, something simple. Friends, it's not the means by which you get it. It's the source from which it comes. Okay, I know you're listening. So can I say that again? I said it's not the what? It's not the means by which you get it. It's where the source. God can speak to a child. God can speak to a man without a collar. God can speak without a pastor on the pulpit. Are you all listening to me? Amen. What is critical is that we all need to have a listening ear. Sometimes we come to church and don't pay attention. We just follow the activities, and when it's over, we go home. Oh, it was a good service. What did you hear? Nothing. Because you were not paying attention. Children, pay attention. Parents, pay attention. It's critical. The Bible tells us, give me verse number 12. Let's go. Quick. Let's go. Now, the Bible now said, everybody read. No, next verse. Verse 13, I think it is. I'm sorry. Okay, good. Everybody read quickly. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when it says to you, wash and be clean? Is it the thing that refuses, that hinders the progress of many of us is our pride? Everybody say pride. Say it again. Okay, tell me before we say neighbor, run away from pride. Say it again. Say neighbor. Say with a smile this time. Say with a smile. Run away from pride. Some of us are so proud that nobody can say anything to us except we ourselves. If you don't complain about what he said, you complain about how he said it, or you complain about when he said it, And you always have something to complain about. But you see, when you peel out all of those, the real issue you have, the real issue I have is pride. Okay, that's a long pause intention. How proud are you? How much blessing have your pride hindered you from getting? How many healings have your pride hindered you from getting? Stand up in church and raise your hand. You stand up and you are standing. I'm not raising my hand. Sometimes you wouldn't want to stand. You know why? Who is he to tell me to stand up? Who is he to tell me to raise my hand? Yeah. You see, when we become our own problem, it's difficult sometimes for God to help us. Can I preach that again? Sometimes, what did I just say? When we become our own problem, it's difficult for God to help us. See, that's why for many years, Jacob was a problem to himself. Until God fought with him. Remember? I touched on that subject before. Remember that? Until God fought with himself, fought with him to deliver him from him. One of the biggest problems Jacob had was not anybody else but him. Many of us are destroying our homes today. Not because of anybody else, but it's you. Your pride. You won't listen to anybody. You won't take any suggestion from anybody. Everybody else is wrong but you. Everybody else is doing something wrong. You are the only one who's right. Friends, if that's you, you need to stand in front of the mirror and see where the problem is coming from. The little seven says, if this man had told you to do something big, wouldn't you have done it? I can imagine him saying, yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm a four-star general. I have all the money. I have all the position. Look at the people that came with me. Look at how much money I brought. How can he tell me? Go wash in a dead river. Excuse me, Naaman. If you are that big, why are you sick? You're not bigger than leprosy. Somebody is telling you what to do to get here. And you're fighting it. Many times we fight God. But a doctor who does not have power will tell you, you'll do everything the doctor says. Can I talk to you or should I leave that alone? You go there, the nurse tells you everything the nurse tells you to do, you'll do it. But what the word of God tells you to do, you won't do it. You see, man has limit. God has no limit. Who should you obey more? God or the doctor? But many times, who do we obey more? The doctor. Oh, pastor is saying we shouldn't go to the doctor again. Is that what I just said? No. Pastor is saying we shouldn't listen to the nurse. Is that what I just said? I didn't say that. I'm saying to you, friends, God is superior to all of them put together. If God's people will make God number one, we will turn our situation into testimony in no time. Amen. The Bible said, give me the next one. We're going on to the next one. So when, well, that's number 14, I think that's where we are now. Okay. Everybody read. So he went down and did 7 times in the Jordan. Watch this now. Watch this now. Don't go too fast in that. According to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Now hear me, friends. If he had gone to that river and did 2 times and walked out, would he have been healed? If he had dipped 5 times and walked out of that river, would he have been healed? Why not? Because the instruction was, dip how many times? Say it again, dip how many times? Until your obedience is complete, your miracle is not on the way.
Okay. Can I say one more time?
Yep.
Okay, I think you can help me preach that to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, until your obedience is complete, your miracle is not on the way. That's why in the spiritual school, many of us find ourselves doing it again and again. You know how back in those days, I don't know how to do it now. You know, when we went to school, Mr. Small, if you didn't pass the grade, they hold you back. Did they hold anybody back? Don't raise your hand. Okay, I'll raise my hand. You know what I mean? They hold you back. You know why? You didn't do well. Sometimes you're still in second grade and your friends are in fourth grade. Anybody knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
some of us are being held back. Not because God cannot do it, but because we have not obeyed completely yet. Why am I not moving to my next level? Incomplete obedience. Somebody says this. Incomplete obedience is equal to disobedience. Okay. Can you help me here? Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Incomplete obedience is the same as disobedience. We do that all the time with our children. I don't know why we forget that the same standard applies. You tell your child, clear this table for me, I need it. So he comes and takes this, and then he takes this and walks away. Did he do what he told him to do? But he took some out of it. How many of you have sent your children back to say, go back there and finish what I told you to do? Raise your hand if you have ever done that. So why do you think God won't do this anymore? You raise your children, you told them to do something, you say, I told you to clear the table. Say, but mommy, I did it. No, look at that table. There's still a few more things there. Go clear it. That's what I said. And you insist. But God tells you to do something, you do it the way you want it. You do it how you want it. And you're waiting for God to answer your prayer. Naaman was to dip seven times. Until he dipped the seven times, the miracle did not happen. Until he went to the exact same river he was supposed to go, the miracle didn't happen. So if you told your child to clear this table, and he goes over here and clears the chair, has he done what you told him to do? So friends, if we pray as we believe God to help us turn our challenges into testimonies, we need to pay attention to what the Word of God demands of us and do what He asks us to do. Many times we spend time binding the devil, and the devil says, oh, it's not me. It's you. You are not obeying your God. That's why. It's a lot easier for me to accuse somebody else than for me to stand in front of the mirror and find what the problem is. Are you all following this? Remember, it's responsibility, reliance, resilience, and then results. Let's get to the next one and see how much we're, okay, we're number three. I think we're doing good. Now, a heartfelt what? Acknowledgement. After this happened, he now went and he did, and the miracle happened. The Bible said his flesh came back to him like a little child. I can imagine how excited he was. I can imagine that man jumping and dancing because now his flesh was healed. Leprosy no more.
Look at what the Bible said he did, verse number 15. You see, it's such a stark difference, such a stark opposite of what our church today is. The Bible now said, read everybody quickly. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except. Not because somebody said, but because he has seen. And he now said, now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. All of a sudden, he's no more a general. All of a sudden, he now recognizes the prophet as bigger than him. So I am your servant. You know, there are times when we demand people respect us. Don't you know I am this? Don't you know? You don't need to do that. If you play your role well, your role will speak for you. Can I say it again? Play your role well. Do what you need to do. Your role will speak for you. He's not respecting me. I hear that a lot. On my work, on my job, excuse me. You know, people fighting in the house, people having disagreement. She doesn't respect me. She doesn't respect me as a man of this house, or this and that, and this and that, and this and that. What are you doing in the house? How are you conducting yourself in the house? Or even my children don't respect me. I said, then that's a problem. I don't see a reason why any child who has a parent who is fulfilling her role or his role in the house would disrespect them. No child does that. But when you create a gap in the life of a child, disrespect is a sign that you are missing in action. Nobody plays his role well and gets disrespected. No. Of course, are there occasional flips? You know, a child makes a mistake and stuff like that. Sometimes those happen. But if it is consistent, something is wrong with how you are conducting yourself in the house. Amen. He came back and said, I am your servant. Let's go back there because there are a few things I want to say in verse number 15 so we can put this together. And the scripture says he returned and he said, please take a gift from your servant. Can I give something in return for what I have received? I want you to understand this thing very clearly. The prophet didn't ask for it. The person came willingly to give based on the blessing he has received. There are two things I want to say under that. Number one is that a sign of gratitude in our heart and our life motivates us to give something to God or give something in the house of God or give something to the whoever God uses as a sign of gratitude. Tell me what that's right. Say it again. You see, a number of us know when you go to the doctor, you pay. Is that right? In fact, in a number of cases, if you have insurance, you don't even see the doctor until you pay your copay first.
Yeah.
Is that what happened in some of the places? Yeah. Say, what's your insurance card? That's right. Okay, your copay is $25. Are you paying by check or by cash? But I've not even seen the doctor yet. Until you pay that, your child is not going to the doctor's table. Oh, I don't have any cash. I don't have a check. Okay. There's an ATM at the corner. You want to go use that? So you have to go find it and come for us. And then when you're done, now your child moves. Now, that's how the world operates. But the church does not operate that way. The church operates by a willingness in appreciation. Even an unbeliever knows that when you get a blessing, you show appreciation. But watch this carefully, because this is where those of us who stand on the pulpit get it wrong. Next verse. Verse 16. Everybody read. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive how much? I will receive how much? What? Elijah? The man came with donkey loads of money. Read the earlier passages. Feeding a donkey with money. And the scripture says he brought 10 changes of raiment. You know what that means? 10 different suits. On top of all the other things he carried. And now he says to you, please take. And you go, I will receive how much? I can imagine if Elisha's wife was close by, like, I never knew I had a crazy husband. I didn't work. I used to so much money. And you say, I will take how much?
Nothing.
You will pour all your life. And now mom will go pack her stuff. Today, this marriage is over. We've been praying for miracle all these years. And here comes somebody to bless you. And you go, what? I will take. Listen, friend. Any preacher who makes money, number one, will lose God every time.
Amen.
Can I say it again?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking to myself now. And all of you ministers in this church. The day you serve people because of what you will get from them, you will miss God every time.
Amen.
The shame is the fact that many, many of us have made church a commercial business. Oh, there's a special prayer line. This one here for those who bring $10. This one over here for those who bring $50. For those who need prayer with anointing is $100. They stand over here. Have you seen it before? And I'm going, how do you do that in church? If you want this blue handkerchief, it's $25. But this one is special design. It's blue and red. I prayed over this one all night. This one is $125. Friends, church is not a business. Okay. Did you just hear what I said? Church is not a business. Let it be a willing offering. And the man of God said, I see what you brought, but I don't need it. He turned everything down. The man begged him, said the scripture. He says, no, I don't need it. You see, the man of God understood where the power came from. The power didn't come from him, it came from God. Now, of course, there were other situations where they took money. It's clear in scripture. But in this situation, I believe he knew exactly what God was saying. Notice what he said in the beginning of line number 2. He said, but he said this, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I'm in a place of prayer. I'm in a place where I'm receiving from God. I'm in the presence of the Almighty. I'm paying attention to the heavens. Right now is not a time to collect. If you read the rest of the chapter, you will notice it. So I'm saying to us, we're getting ready to close on this. The fact that both for us as believers and us as ministers, we all need to know what is right and do it. I'm waiting for one amen.
Amen.
Friends, nothing takes the power away from the church quicker than money. Nothing. Because we lower the God of heavens to just dollars and cents. Say this with me, and I'm going to get to the next point. I will be closing. Tell him before me, say, neighbor. God will not be sold. Okay, say it again. Say it again. Say, neighbor, God will not be sold. It is a shame on every pastor that is selling God. It's a disgrace to the gospel that we try to sell God to enrich our pockets. Old Testament, New Testament is all over. That's why when you hear things, you know, I don't tell you, a member of Rough Foundation, when you hear something somewhere, don't go. That man want to go, go. This one want to lay hands, this prophet is showing up and tell you, want to go. What? I've never preached anywhere. Many of you have been members of this church for 15 years. Never told anybody once. A prophet is coming to town, don't go. Go. Open your eyes, however. Open your ears. Bible says you should be careful to know who you allow to lay hands on you. Who you allow to anoint you. Because most of those people carry spirits and they will transfide and they will be right. You know why? Because you came, you brought yourself. So if you're going, be careful. You're following them, be careful how you follow. Because you gave them yourself. Let's finish. I think we're number 4. I think it's the last one for today. Well, don't go with time. We'll have communion quickly now. Number 4, he says what? A hallowed commitment to serve God. Nobody could have preached a message that is powerful enough to change that man until he had this experience. Let's really quickly so we can pray and take communion. Everybody, go. So Naaman said, then, did you see that? So since you refused money, since you refused all my gift, if not, that is, if you are not taking it, please let your servant, that's him talking about himself now, be given 2 new loads of earth. Help me, help me, help me. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. What an awesome testimony. See, if the man had taken money from him, he would have said, that's how we do it in our country. So he's the same. But he said, since you refused money, he said, now I know there's no God where? Anywhere else in all the earth. You see, you leave a testimony
But how and what you do? Give me some sand from here so that I can carry the sand home, so that I can use it as a representation of my being in Israel, where I'm going to be worshiping. Next verse, quickly. The scripture said, yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. I think some of you understand this, some of you don't. Quickly, this is what you're saying. I still have a job to do, so I'm still going to be going to work. And when I go to work, the king of Syria worships idol. But I'm the commander of the army, so I'm the chief security guard. When the king is worshiping, guess what happens when we worship? All of us have to do what? Bow down, or else we'll lose our job. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
So he's saying, therefore, at this point, I need mercy, I need prayer, I need wisdom. There are certain things, remember Jesus said, the things that belong to Caesar, give. The things that belong to God, give. No, so there are certain things, of course, as you grow spiritually, you gradually get a place of respect and maturity and power and instruction and revelation to live. But it says right now, I can't do that. In my heart, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. But I still need to go to work on Monday. Are you following this? Now, we can discuss that in detail, but there's no time to discuss it. What I'm asking you, and what the Word of God is telling us, is the fact that it's important for us to understand that Mammon and God are different. And that God says we are in the world, we are not of it. Only few of us work in a Christian business. I mean, if you work in a Christian business, I don't see any end of it. You know why? Because many of us don't. There are things that are done there that are not Christians. But there are things that they do to maintain their business. It's important that we understand that we have to distance ourselves as much as possible. But it's important for us to also know that in those situations, what God expects us to do is to seek to grow so that we can make an impact. Are you following what I just said?
Amen.
Get ready to pray. We're talking about everybody, responsibility. Come on. What is it again? Reliance. What's the next word? And what is next one? Okay, very good. Now, if you look at the bottom of your notes, we're doing the application now so that we can pray. The very last thing there, I call it application. And I said, number one, I have C-A-N. You see there? You see there? Okay, good. Let's read it together. Number one, it says what? Challenges. Sins, secrets, open, can be deliberate, okay? So what I'm trying to say is, I think I explained it over there, that you see, we need to take responsibility. What we're dealing with was the fact that Naaman had leprosy, okay? It has to be deliberately dealt with. And number two is that answers may not be easy, but do not stop searching. Okay, so be reliant, rely on God, so that as you continue to search, God will show you a way out. This man traveled all the way from his country, all the way to another country. So be reliant on God. And very quickly, pride may get in the way. Be resilient. Set yourself. And finally, new grounds lie ahead of you. So press on. Amen. So your story will change. Let me hear somebody say, my story will change. Now say it again like you heard me. Say, my story will change. Come on, say it now like you believe it. Say, my story will change. Your story will change. I don't care what the situation is. Amen. But take responsibility. Do everything you need to do. Rely on God. Be resilient and you will see a result. Let me hear somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. At the very bottom of it, I put a few four things there to conclude our family affair discussion. I don't even need to discuss that. That's something for you to take home and look at the scripture that is applied there. We'll be discussing this in details very soon. Please stand as we get ready to pray. And then we'll take communion. Please stand, please stand, please stand. We're praying now before we take communion. I don't know if God has said anything to you over the course of this message. I want you to bring it to God now. What is your challenge? How are you handling it? What is the issue? Who are you listening to? Who are you not listening to? Go ahead, pray. Go ahead, pray. Go ahead, pray. Do you want a testimony like Naaman? He had a problem that nobody else could solve. He was an unbeliever, but he followed instruction. When his pride was getting in the way, he listened. And he ended up with a testimony. Can you talk to God now quickly? Now, whatever the challenge is, God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your ability to stay focused. Somebody pray and declare in the name of Jesus that Satan will not discourage you. Declare in the name of Jesus that Satan will not distract you. Declare in the name of Jesus that no matter what the name of the problem is or the challenge, that no matter how long it's been there, God that you serve has the answer. And they are not going to stop until the answer comes. Somebody pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we bless your mighty name. Let me pray with you. Open your hands, please. Just open, stretch forth your hands and open them. And I want you to begin to just lift up your hand. No, don't lift up your hands, excuse me. Lift up your heart with your hands open. As a sign of surrender, that's why I'm asking you for your hand to be open. Lord, I stretch my hands over your children, both in-house and online. Lord, you know what they are releasing to you right now. Whether it's physical issues, spiritual issues, financial issues, emotional challenges, whatever they are. If you could solve the problem of an unbeliever, like Naaman, how much more will you do for your children who serve you with all their heart? So, Lord, with my hands stretched over theirs, Lord, as the word of God came from Elisha, and it did not return until it accomplished its purpose, I declare your word over your people, both in house and online. Oh, God of heaven, that every issue, every challenge open before you now, let the specific result that you desire be released over your people now. I declare that wisdom, I declare that instructions that will lead to that result be released now in the name of Jesus, that before long, every one of your children will come back to the house to give a testimony of how you led them and how you did the miracle. Do it and receive the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I stand on the church of the Lord, God of heaven. And I rebuke Satan. I rebuke every spirit of destruction and discouragement. I command you, cease your operation in the lives of God's children. In Jesus' name, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, Naaman was not disappointed. None of your children that obeys you fully shall be disappointed. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let me hear you all shout aloud, amen. Come on, shout aloud, amen.